Hockey Talk Show on this Monday, April 15th. It is tax day. I hope by the time you're watching this or listening via the podcast that you have filed your taxes or at least filed an extension. That is some important paperwork that you need to get done. Speaking of paperwork, we've got a whole bunch of good paperwork going on in the National Hockey League right now, including the title of this episode, which is the Philadelphia Flyers have a new head coach, and that is Alain Vigneault. We'll dive into the who, what, where, and when, and how it came about, and what it's going to look like for the Flyers moving forward under the tutelage of Alain Vigneault. I just won $5 by using the word tutelage in the first 30 seconds of the episode. So, Alain Vigneault coverage on this episode. Speaking of head coaches, we've got the absolute best head coach in the game, as far as sound bites go, John Tortorella with another profanity-laced tirade in the Columbus Blue Jackets locker room that you will hear on this episode. Stay tuned for that. The NHL's got a lot of paperwork to do because they're deciding on a Nazem Kadri suspension. The Avalanche just filled out some paperwork with a new player that they have in the lineup in time for their next playoff game. There is so much exciting things to talk about here on this episode of the Hockey Talk Show. Let's get it started. All right, welcome in, everybody. Questions on the Facebook chat and YouTube chat. Go ahead and start throwing those in if you'd like. We're going to dive right into the news. Don't forget, you can watch the Hockey Talk Show on Facebook and YouTube live and also listen to it via podcast on all the major podcasting networks. I'm talking about Spotify. I'm talking about Anchor. I'm talking about Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Don't forget, if you're on Apple Podcasts, make sure you guys rate and review so we climb up the stats. You can find info on everything Hockey Talk Show over at HockeyTalkShow.com. Let's get to the man of the hour. That's Alain Vigneault. Last time we saw him, he was behind the bench for the New York Rangers, but that was a little while ago. Next time we will see him, we'll actually be behind the bench for Team Canada in the 2019 IIHF World Championships in Slovakia. And that may have something to do with him becoming the next head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, because if you look at the 2019 Team Canada IIHF World Championship roster and you take a look at the front office positions, you'll notice that one of the general managers over there is none other than Chuck Fletcher, who happens to be the general manager for the Philadelphia Flyers. So they were already very familiar with Alain Vigneault, outside of obviously everybody being familiar with Alain Vigneault, him being the coach of the Rangers and the Vancouver Canucks and the Canadiens before that. Obviously, nobody is unfamiliar with Alain Vigneault, but obviously there's a close relationship there most recently because of Team Canada. So not a bad move for Alain Vigneault to take that job, and we can see that it helped lead him back to the National Hockey League. Now, that's not to say that he wouldn't have wound up back there anyway. I think it's fairly obvious that Alain Vigneault was going to be a head coach in the National Hockey League again. It's something that I said on this show, and here we are. April 15th, he officially was named. Now, everybody made a big stink about Joel Quenneville going down to Florida and that being sort of a quick hiring by Florida. And everybody came down and criticized Chuck Fletcher for perhaps not moving fast enough for the Philadelphia Flyers in scooping up Joel Quenneville. I think that there's no doubt that if you had to choose who's going to coach your team between Joel Quenneville and Alain Vigneault, everybody, including Alain Vigneault's parents, would choose Joel Quenneville. I mean, that's just a no-brainer. The guy's got more rings than a three-ring circus. I just might end the show right there. I don't know. That was either awful or brilliant. I can't really tell. It's Monday. I'm pretty exhausted. But, you know, there's no denying Dale Talon. I mean, Dale Talon was the guy. I thought it was unfair criticism. Dale Talon was the guy who put Joel Quenneville into Chicago. Dale Talon's also the guy who built that whole entire team. I mean, I don't even think you can give Stan Bowman credit for any of those cup wins except for the last one. Because most of that team was built by Dale Talon. And I was extremely pissed when Talon got tossed aside by the Florida Panthers for Tom Rowe and that whole nightmare. So I'm really excited for the Florida Panthers fan base, all 6,000 of them that like to show up at every single game and absolutely fill that cavernous 20,000-seat arena. I'm excited for you guys, all 8,000 of you. I intend on shaking all your hands in person one day. It shouldn't take more than an hour. But the point is this. Shots at the Florida Panthers aside, it's a great move. I'm excited for Dale Tallon. I'm excited for Joel Quenneville. And I'm excited for this team, which is tremendously offensively gifted, that just lacks any sort of cohesiveness that Joel Quenneville will bring to your roster. He will round it all out. He will make them defensively better. So I'm excited for the Florida Panthers. I don't think it's a fair criticism to get on Chuck Fletcher for not moving too quickly, because even if Chuck Fletcher offered 2 times the amount of money to Joel Quenneville and, you know, gave Joel Quenneville everything he wanted to a T, I still think Joel Quenneville picks the Florida Panthers over the Philadelphia Flyers. Because when you look at both of these teams, they're both sort of in the same boat. Now, the goaltending option for the Philadelphia Flyers obviously looks a little brighter with Mr. Hart there. That's obviously a little bit more of an exciting thing. The Panthers are sort of on the other end of that. Who's going to be their goaltender moving forward? How much longer do they have with number one? You know, that's obviously going to be a little bit more murky. But you'd be amazed at how much better you'll feel about your goaltender when you're not paying state tax. That's the thing that people don't really think about. When you look at a goaltending situations of one team versus the next, also check your pay stub for state tax, because that'll make you feel a whole lot different about it. And let's be honest, even though Hart's an exciting prospect for the Flyers, and that's going to be a good situation for them moving forward, it's not like the Panthers and Dale Tallon are going to do nothing. They're going to do something. So that's going to be rectified one day once they figure out what Roberto Luongo is going to do and what he's going to be next year and how that's going to be moving forward. Florida average attendance was 14,000. Well, let's all not forget that I worked for a National Hockey League team and I saw how those attendance figures were taking place, which was the head public relations guy leaned over the edge of the press box, looked around, and then made up a number and told the press. So that is exactly how those numbers are configured. You can do anything you know, you can just look around and see and know those numbers are just not legitimate whatsoever. Also, people will argue, well, they sold the tickets and people didn't show up, and that's all fine and dandy. And I'm not here to take a shot at the Florida Panthers, because I think they're, I think, again, Dale Tallon's tremendous. But again, I was in the room when a lot of those figures were taking place. You think they tally up ticket stubs? That's not how it works. The PR guy makes up a number. So thanks for the stats, the official stats. But I'm just here to tell you, break down a fourth wall for you. That's how it goes down. Rob, I'm going to talk about the Jackets in a big way. You also saw a comment on the Facebook page. I'm going to talk about the Islanders as well. Two of the most exciting parts of the early 2019 playoffs. But back to Alain Vigneault. Again, Chuck Fletcher gets criticized for not hiring Joel Quenneville. Again, I think Joel goes down to Florida because of his relationship with Dale Tallon alone, because of the state tax thing, because of the golf, because of the racehorses. I mean, there's a million reasons why that Florida job is so appealing to a head coach. And I don't think that the criticism for Chuck Fletcher and Joel Quenneville was warranted whatsoever. But let's be honest. You didn't get the prize possession, but this is like Taylor versus Tyler. Remember that? Remember those days of who was better? Taylor versus Tyler? They always like to pit the number one and number two draft pick against each other. Like, you got the number two draft pick here, Philly. You're still getting an amazing coach. And I think you're getting a coach that is right where he needs to be, because Elaine's sort of strength seems to be right around where the Flyers are. Aimlessly moving around, made the playoffs, didn't make the playoffs, supposed to be cup contenders, went to the finals, couldn't get it done, right? Now they're sort of aimlessly in that position. I think this is going to be a good move for the Philadelphia Flyers. I think he comes around at the right time. I don't think he's outstanding with young players, but I don't think he's horrible with young players. So Carter Hart's going to be an interesting thing. Most of the time these days, though, I don't even know if the head coach even talks to the goaltender anymore, because there's 4,000 people on the goaltending staff now. We went from having a goalie coach to having an entire 3 to 4 man staff to just manage 1 to 2 goaltenders. It's amazing what has transpired in the front offices of the National Hockey League. And that's because of the salary cap. Because you just can't spend more money to make your team better on the ice, so you spend more money off the ice. So now, as we see with the Islanders here, they got 3 or 4. They got Mitch Korn. They got all these. There's 4 people to talk to: Robin Leonard and Thomas Greiss. I mean, it's insane. It's working, but it's still insane. still insane from a paycheck standpoint. But he comes in, look, obvious pedigree, 5 years with the New York Rangers. He went to a Stanley Cup, 7 seasons with the Vancouver Canucks. He couldn't get that team over the molehill. Nobody could. 4 seasons with the Canadiens. He's going to coach Team Canada. They're going to have a good showing at the World Championships. Let's go through his record here. He has produced 100-point seasons for teams in 8 of the last 11 full seasons as head coach, including 9 seasons of 45 wins and 3 seasons with 50 wins. The guy wins. He may have stunk it up the last couple of years with the Rangers. Rangers fans may be upset that he wasn't able to get them a cup, but let's talk facts here, people. This guy you see on your screen is a winner. He's a winner, no two ways about it. He won the Jack Adams Award as the NHL Coach of the Year in 2006 and 2007 when he led Vancouver to a 49-26-7 record and 105 points. He was also a finalist for the award a total of 4 times, 99-2000, 06-07, 10-11, and 14-15. He captured the President's Trophy 3 times, twice with the Canucks in 10-11 and 11-12, and once with the Rangers in 14-15. We forget that he won a President's Trophy with the Rangers. That's pretty ridiculous. That's pretty ridiculous. Let's see here. He has won 7 division championships and made the playoffs 11 times, advancing past the first round on 8 of those occasions. So, if you're the Philadelphia Flyers and you miss the playoffs this year and you have Claude Giroux and Jakub Voracek and Carter Hart and all this youth and all this talent, and 14's doing an amazing job, and he's got to come up, and all this stuff. Who do you need to get you over that hump to make you a winning franchise again? Alain Vigneault. There just isn't a better hire right now than Alain Vigneault. He's the guy that can do it. He's the guy that is going to get you into the second round of the playoffs. And good for him. I don't know how long he's signed for, but he's got 2.5 years to do it. Because whether he got a 3-year contract, a 4-year contract, a 5-year contract, or a Mike Babcock special, an 8-year deal. He's got 2.5 years to get this team into a second-round playoff position. That's all he has to do, and then he can last a little bit longer. Official word from the Philadelphia Flyers is it is a multi-year contract, according to Executive Vice President and General Manager Chuck Fletcher. There was no press conference on this. I don't suppose there will be tomorrow. There is a chance, but it's very rare that the NHL likes their playoff stories being upended by other teams that are not in the playoffs. I'm sure the NHL would have wanted this to come later on in the season, or what Philadelphia or what the Florida Panthers did, which was make the move and make the announcement before the playoffs really got underway. But it is what it is. You can see also a scenario where Chuck Fletcher sees Vigneault is out there, sees a lot of coaching vacancies, and knows he's got to make a move here and get somebody behind his bench. That obviously plays a lot into it as well. I mean, this guy could have went anywhere. He was obviously the next prize possession as far as coaches go, so that's why he goes where he goes. So no press conference. If there is one tomorrow, we'll have it for you here on the Hockey Talk Show. We'll break down the statements, but I don't expect there to be anything thrilling or exciting to come from it, or nothing that'll come any more thrilling than what the previous than what their press release statements are, which is the following from Chuck Fletcher. He says, and I quote, "We are extremely excited to have Alain join this franchise and lead our team behind the bench for many years to come. He brings a tremendous amount of success over an extended period of time that will provide valuable, that will provide a value to our team and take next steps in returning the winning culture to the Philadelphia Flyers organization," said Vigneault in the statement. "It is an honor to be selected as the next head coach of the Flyers. The history they have established and the passionate fan base has made this a first-class franchise. I am excited to work with Chuck, the talented group of players and prospects coming up through the system in order to return Philadelphia to the top of the NHL landscape." And the genius move here is, and that's why I say he's a good coach, how do you get people on your side right away? Well, you talk about the fan base being passionate. You blow a little smoke up their rear end. That never hurt nobody. Certainly not a coach coming in to a new situation. Unbelievable Greatness says, the Panthers have 13,000 at home. Florida is 30th in NHL attendance. There's 31 teams last I checked, right? So not great. Not great. But Florida is one of those, you know, areas, and we're seeing this with, I was about to say Charlotte. We're seeing this with Carolina right now, where nobody's going to show up if you're not winning. You know, when you're in these secondary markets, you got to win. Carolina did well when they were winning. And they're not winning for a long time. Of course, attendance is going to go down. That will rebound the better a team gets. So that's that. They'll get there. Doc reviews. What's his system like? You know, I don't know what his system is going to look like. I think Elaine Veal, he's not one of these coaches to me that has like the system, you know. I don't think he has that. I don't think many coaches have that much anymore. And we'll hear a little bit from John Tortorella on this subject. Again, I have a wonderful profanity-laced tirade from John Tortorella for the Columbus Blue Jackets that you're not going to want to miss. That's coming up in a moment here. He's not. It's not like the days of old and the old, you know, Devils, Lou Lamoriello teams where they just played this system and they did their thing. I think he'll be a lot more looser than that. I think he's going to come in. He's going to evaluate these players and see where they need to be. Where you're going to get a lot out of Alain Vigneault is he's one of these great coaches where he's been doing it for a long time and understands the old school. I know when I need to kick some guys in the ass. And he's also still young enough to be a part of the generation to know that, you know, these players are young, they're millennials, and they got to be handled with baby gloves and they got to be spoken to. And there's a psychology to the game today as much as there is X's and O's. So I think that's, you know, if you're looking at a system, to me, that's the sort of system that Elaine Vigneault comes with. Also, he comes with winning, you know. These guys are going to come in here and they're going to respect winning. And let's be honest, that's why Scott Gordon is out of a job today. Now, the press release didn't mention anything about Scott Gordon staying on as an assistant coach. I saw a press conference with Scott towards the end of the season that said he wanted to be a head coach. What else is he going to say? Does he fold back into the system here with Philadelphia and Elaine Vigneault? We may not hear until the offseason. I know Scott's going around probably trying to get some interviews. I heard Jack Capuano is in on some interviews here with some of the vacancies that are open. So there's a lot of sort of dust that still needs to be settled. You know, we'll wait and see on that. But I think, you know, when you have a coach that comes in that has won a lot, maybe not as much as Coach Q, but still comes from a winning pedigree, you know, the players are going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Like I said, you got 2 years, 2.5 years to turn this around. Sadly, that is the state of affairs that we are in. We saw with Bob Bugner going. Obviously, I would have fired him too if I could upgrade myself a little bit. And we saw that in Buffalo too. You just don't get a lot of time to turn these franchises around. And specifically, this is going to be the case in Philadelphia because they are a very passionate fan base when it comes to the Philadelphia Flyers. This is not like New York where, yeah, the Rangers are possible, but they're going to take a backseat to baseball all the time. I think everybody's going to take a backseat to football, especially in Philadelphia. But outside of that, I would put the Flyers on par with the 76. I would put the Flyers ahead of the 76ers, and I would put them on par with the Phillies because that's just where they are. They're a passionate fan base. Really, really passionate fan base. Let's see here. Flyers had an hour. I'm done talking about attendance. I love the comments, guys, but I can't do an attendance thing here. Again, like I said, when I was with the Islanders and I saw this with other teams too, the guys would just go, 14,592. I mean, it was just, you can't take those statistics, you know, seriously. It's like hit statistics for real. I mean, every arena, every building does it differently. To Matt's point about a north-south style and lots of speed, yeah, of course. I mean, every coach is going to tell you that. They want to play fast. They want to play heavy. I mean, we could throw coaching cliches around for the next hour. I'd rather play you the Tortorella thing. Let's get through some of the comments coming in here, though. Oh, my buddy Louie over at VGK Coverage. Good to see you, pal. Thanks for the congratulations. I want to say that I do love Lou, your vlogs. Lou does VGK coverage. Go check it out. It's Vegas Golden Knights coverage. He's been doing these game vlogs. They've been really good. They've been really, really fun. Going to games and, you know, vlogging the experience. It's been really, really cool. I think there's an outside chance if the Islanders and Penguins go to game 5, I'll be there at the Coliseum. So if that's the case, we'll vlog it or we'll just do a Facebook Live from the parking lot or something cool like that. So look out for that from the Hockey Talk Show channel for sure. Let's go over to John Tortorella. I can't get enough of this guy. Just cursing it up. He is literally the best coach in the National Hockey League when it comes to sound bites. He might not be the best X's and O's guy, and I don't know how you can argue with me when you listen to this tirade. But when you look at what the Columbus Blue Jackets have done here in the first round of the playoffs, I mean, it is just nuts. It is just absolutely insane. Let's take a quick gander of the playoff picture here. Let me tell you the two series. Let me tell you the one series I'm super, super worried about when I look at my picks. I love all of my picks. Let me bring up my picks here for you guys. Can we get that up so we get the picks up on the screen? Thank you. I love all of my picks. I am not worried about any of my picks except for one, and that is the Vegas-San Jose series. I picked San Jose, and I'm terrified about it now, and it's not just because Vegas has a 2-1 lead in the series. It's several reasons. Stone, with a hat trick in his last game, they look amazing. Vegas is moving the puck up the ice so fast. Their transition game is insane. But most notably, I just don't like Martin Jones's game. And I was a little bit worried about that. I don't know if I said that in the playoff prediction show. I'd have to go back and see, but I think I did. I was worried about Vegas going into this because I thought they played a lot of hockey, and I thought there would be a little bit of a Stanley Cup final hangover. Last year was so special, coming back from the tragedy and everything that was done there and the run and everything else. It was just so amazing and special. And I just felt like they would run out of steam this time around. But Fleury is outplaying Jones. I'm not counting out San Jose yet. I'm not giving up on my pick just yet. But I will say I'm a little scared about that pick. That pick scares me a little bit because I think that Vegas could win that series. Not with ease, but I'm saying they could win it. I could see them running away with it. I could see them just winning it flat out. Jones hasn't been good. And transversely, you know what? Neither has Connor Hellebuck. Even though St. Louis gave up the last game there, game three, to Winnipeg, and I thought Winnipeg looked better in that game, I haven't liked Connor Hellebuck's game. He hasn't been as good as he has been in the past, and I'm super worried about Connor Hellebuck in Winnipeg, because I just feel like that's a whole city that's going to melt down if their guys don't make it this year, because a lot of people picked them to win the cup. But I still like my pick for St. Louis. I think Binnington rebounds. I don't think that Binnington had a bad game in game three. I thought the St. Louis defense had a bad game because Winnipeg was driving to the front of the net and St. Louis was giving that to them. And as we're going to see in the Toronto-Boston series, that's going to be the difference maker. That's going to be what's going to win them that series is, can you get to the front of the net? Can you cause confusion? Can you mess with the defense and give yourself those point-blank opportunities? You know, that's going to be the difference. That is legit going to be the difference. We're going to see that in a couple of series. And most notably, we're seeing it play out now. That's what got Winnipeg that win right there in game three for them. I picked Tampa. Here's why I'm not worried about that pick. I mean, what the hell are you going to do? Nobody on God's green earth saw this coming. I am sorry, but there is nobody with any sort of integrity that is not a fan of the Columbus Blue Jackets that picked the Columbus Blue Jackets to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning and possibly sweep them, because that is literally what we are looking at right now in this scenario. I picked Tampa along with everybody else that knows anything about hockey. And if anybody tells you, oh, I picked Columbus, they're either full of crap or they're crazy delusional. You know, I'm sure if you wandered along Penn Station, you can find somebody muttering to themselves on the subway here in New York that picked Columbus. That's going to be right on par with where people need to be. Nobody picked the Columbus Blue Jackets. Now, it's not Columbus that I have an issue with. It's not Columbus, because they're great. Columbus has been great. Columbus is probably the best wild card to come into. I don't know why the comments keep going off on Facebook. I apologize. I can't seem to get that right. I will address some. Brad, Lee, I'll get to some of your comments, though. Columbus is probably the best wild, you know, maybe the best wild card maybe you can argue for Colorado, but Columbus is it. They're certainly better than Carolina. They're certainly better than Dallas. It's just Tampa was so damn good. And I'm not sure what happened to the Tampa Bay Lightning other than they went up 3-0. They thought it was going to be cake. They got caught with their foot off the pedal. And the trauma that that caused from game one was so bad that they could not recover. Now, Kucherov takes a bad hit. He gets suspended. That's going to be a big issue for Tampa because that changed up their dynamic. But you still have a lot of guys in the lineup that are killing it points-wise. Hedman is obviously more seriously injured than anybody thought. I don't think he's in the next game. And Vasilevsky hasn't been all that solid. But for me, this is a mindset game for Tampa. This is all mental for them. That's the issue here. And Columbus is playing with house money. Again, it's really loose and easy when everybody on the planet is picking you to lose. You have nothing to worry about when you have nothing to worry about. When nobody picks you to win, you have no idea how easy it is to go in there and make something happen. It's like in your job. When nobody is expecting you to do something, you do something amazing, you get all this praise, you're like, oh, that was easy. When your boss is on you and you got a deadline and all this stuff, it's a lot harder to get stuff done. So Columbus has been carefree and it's been working for them. And on top of that, they got John Tortorella, who is a great motivator. By the way, Artemi Panarin looks ridiculous. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen this guy skating faster, for the love of God. Unbelievable greatness on YouTube. I think Columbus versus the Islanders in the Eastern Conference Final for sure. That's a bold prediction that your old pal Ann is not ready to make yet. And I love the Islanders, and I love their game. And by the way, it drives me crazy because I watched Game 3 yesterday and Pierre Maguire and all these national people who don't watch. You'll notice the people who don't watch hockey because they don't know what's going on. I realize it's hard to watch a lot of games, but it's blatantly obvious when I look at a person who's not doing their homework and who doesn't know. You watched that game yesterday, and Pierre Maguire's like, oh, the Islanders are for real. Oh, the Islanders are really, Pierre Maguire, in game friggin' 3, with the Islanders up 4-1, you're going to start talking about the Islanders are for real? Do you know what real analyzing is? It's knowing that going into the playoffs. It's picking the Islanders to beat Pittsburgh, which we did right here on the Hockey Talk Show, and now they're almost ready to sweep. By the way, I don't know if they do, but Pittsburgh looks lost. Pittsburgh looks as lost as the Tampa Bay Lightning, where they're just sitting there. There's always something in the tank, and now all of a sudden they're calling for it, and it ain't there. You ever run out of gas in your car? You hit that gas pedal, and the thing doesn't go anywhere? That's what the Pittsburgh Penguins look like and the Tampa Bay Lightning look like right now. The looks on their faces are incredibly similar, incredibly similar. I'm sorry, that was a personal thing. It just upsets me when I hear national media who don't watch the games, who don't follow up on the teams, who don't really love doing this for a living, sit there and go, oh, these guys are for real. Yeah, in game 3, asshole, with a 3-0 lead and an absolute decimation on national television, and you're going to turn around and make that call there? Super hot take, Pierre. Way to go, buddy. Way to go, pal. So how is Columbus doing this? Aside from being surprising and you know, from handling their business and doing their thing, this guy right here, this guy is a motivator. Here is John Tortorella's speech to the Columbus Blue Jackets in the locker room, mic'd up, talking to his team. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Forget about skills. Forget about X's and O's. It's a mindset. I'll f***ing believe it. It's amazing what can happen. So you stand in there. You stand in there and you don't take a backward step. Not for a second. It's a great opportunity to stand right face to face with him and go right to him. There is no one taking a back step here. All right, let's be ready.
And just listen to that room erupt into applause. I mean, you know, back to the question of what's Alain Vigneault's system? What's John Tortorella's system? John Tortorella's system is roll 4 lines and scream at his team in the middle of the game.
Forget about skills. Forget about X's and O's. It's a mindset. I'll f***ing believe it.
Forget about skills. Forget about X's and O's. It's a mindset of believing. You got to know you can believe. You got to believe you know you can beat that other team. And that's what it is. And that is what made this team come back from 3-0 in the first game and just rally behind. And they never let Tampa get into game two. Game three, you can see they wore a little bit. Tampa was there. But Kucherov making that hit against the boards, I forgot who he hit. Bad move, man. Bad move from a desperate team making a stupid, stupid mistake. An absolute stupid mistake. Let's see here. Mainstream media, everyone predicted everyone. Caps versus Pens, second round series again. Yeah, I mean, I just, you know. You could just see it in Pittsburgh almost. You know, they turned it on at the right time, the Penguins did, but I don't know. They could never catch up to the Islanders. And everybody's sitting there going, well, this is going to be an upset. How is this going to be an upset? The Islanders were seeded higher. The Islanders had a better regular season. They were close as all hell. Statistically, when you break them down, they were super close. But it's a coin toss. It's not an upset. If you're calling that series an upset, you don't watch hockey. I'm sorry. I don't care who you work for. I don't care how many years you've been in the game. If you sit there and go, oh, well, the Islanders can't beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. What are you basing this on? 4 years ago? Go watch a game. Go actually watch a game. Do you know why I'm super proud of the Hockey Talk Show coverage? Because I watch all the games and I look at what's happening and I could see. By the way, Tampa and Boston, Toronto and Boston, let's not take away, and I picked Boston, and I know a lot of other people did too, and that was the popular pick. But I can't just not make the popular pick at times. I think Boston's going to win. Let's not take away from the fact that Toronto played a hell of a good game in game one that they won. I mean, they played a hell of a good game. I really like Toronto's game. I thought that this game was going to go seven. I've never been so sure this game is going to go seven. This game is going seven, and I would almost go out to say that exactly like last year, it's going seven and then some. We are going into overtime of game seven. I think tonight's game, 7 o'clock on NBC Sports Network, will be very, very telling for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Very, very telling. Can you keep Boston's physical style in front of the net away from affecting you? Conversely, Toronto got a lot of their stretch pass. They are a stretch pass team. The Maple Leafs love that stretch pass. You have got to make that adjustment if you're the Boston Bruins. You have to. You have to make that adjustment if you're the Boston Bruins. You cannot let them take those chances because Tuukka's been good, but the Toronto Maple Leafs forwards are just incredibly talented. They're incredibly talented. Have we heard about Nazem Kadri? I don't know. I know we're waiting on a suspension. He had a hearing today. At the time of starting the show here, we still haven't heard what we're looking at for Nazem Kadri as far as the suspension goes. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, they know he's being suspended. That's definitely happening. A suspension is definitely happening. We just been waiting here like patience on a monument today to hear what it is, and we still don't know what it is. Hearing was today. I'm checking NHL.com right now, checking. There's no reason to check sources on this. This will come straight out of the NHL and the NHL PR department. But it doesn't look like there's been anything yet. Still nothing. Still nothing here. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. I'll take questions right now, Facebook and YouTube. If you have questions, shoot them on over in the comments below. As we do that, as you ready your questions, and I'll go through some of them. I don't have time to do a lot, so make them good if you got them. Let's talk about the latest addition for the Colorado Avalanche here. You see him up on your screen, number 16 in your program, number one in your hearts. If you're a Colorado Avalanche fan, Cale Makar, the Hobie Baker winning defenseman for the University of Massachusetts, who had a hell of a run but lost in the Frozen Four to Minnesota Duluth 3-0. It was a little disappointing. But this guy definitely put his team on his back. He was a fourth overall pick, I believe, for the Colorado Avalanche. The 20-year-old defenseman comes in here and, you know, could not be better timing-wise because Sam Girard is not going to be playing in game three here. Colorado and Calgary with that series tied up at one game apiece. So it'll be interesting to see how this young gentleman takes to the NHL game quickly here in the NHL playoffs. But by all accounts, from what I could tell, and again, you know, I'm happy to admit when I don't know something, I haven't watched a lot of his game. I've seen some clips online. I watched a little bit of the Frozen Four, so I saw him a little bit there. Obviously, he's a Hobey Baker, so best college player in the States right now. Obviously, he's got it all. Can he turn it into the NHL right away? We'll have to wait and see. Nobody's going to be able to predict it. I will say, and I'm totally of the school of not rushing players into the game here, but I like kind of throwing guys into the fire in the playoffs. There's something about the NHL playoffs that we've seen time and time again that, believe it or not, rookies and players, once they're done with their minor league seasons or they're done with their, you know, the college playoffs, they tend to do okay. They actually tend to do okay. And if you're going to take that chance, you know, there's a, with the Hobey Baker winner, you have your best chance right there. So I'm really looking forward to game three tonight. I don't believe I'm going to watch most of it because it's at 10 o'clock. And for those of you who know the show, I do morning radio on Long Island, so I'm up at 4 o'clock every morning. So it's hard to stay up for those 10 o'clock games, but I'll watch a little bit of the first period, at least to see Cale Makar in the uniform and taking warm-ups and everything else like that. That's on CNBC tonight if you're watching here in the States. Lots of game threes on the docket for this evening that I'm looking forward to seeing. And I'd make predictions for tonight, but you know, you've seen my predictions. You've seen my picks for the playoffs. By the way, I stand by all of them. And by the way, as much as I think that Tampa is going to be out of this and get swept, let's not be surprised if it takes Columbus for four or five or six games to close this thing out. Because here's the thing with momentum in a series. As much as coaches want to say it doesn't exist, it exists in a major, major way. You can absolutely carry momentum from one game to the next, especially with early goals. Especially with early goals. I think Columbus has carried their momentum through this series. And if they can't close it out in four, watch out. Watch out. Because if Tampa's able to pull this back together, watch out. Here's the crazy stat on this, too. I think teams that are up 3-0 are something like 180. A team that's up 3, listen to this stat. A team that's up 3-0 in a series, their record to win the series is 186-4. 186-4 for teams that are up 3-0 in a series. So history is on the side of the Columbus Blue Jackets. And I don't want to sound like a dope here because, again, Columbus is playing great. Panarin is flying. Bobrovsky, 95 has been the complete opposite here with Columbus that he's been everywhere else, which is absolute playoff kryptonite. Give it up for Duchesne. He's been good, right? Also, you look at the Columbus Blue Jackets, and they're rolling 4 strong. And, you know, anybody who knows anything about playoff hockey, you better be playing 4 lines if you want to have success long term. This is a long damn season, and it's hard to get, you know, a lot of this stuff done over a long period of time. So you need to roll all 4. You need to have all your guys going. And as we've seen time and time again, defense is so good in the playoffs that your top 6 forwards tend to get shut down a lot. So you need your bottom 6 to step up, and they do a lot. So it's important to have a good bottom 6. And I like Boone Jenner's game, by the way. I thought he's been playing really, really well, too. I want to shout out Boone Jenner. He's done great. It's important to sort of throw the spotlight on him a bit here. Because, again, his game's just been strong. His game's just been strong. And I think that Columbus has shown, hey, you know, we're better. We may not be the better team. We may not have the better players, but we're better from top to bottom. We're better all 4 lines. Now, if you're on Facebook, I'm sorry. We've had some trouble with the comments, turning them on and off. They're on now. So if you have a question or a comment that you'd like me to react to directly, throw that in there now. So, yes, Cale Makar, Game 3, Western Conference. Round one, Pepsi Center. He makes his debut at home. Interestingly enough, he is from, I think he's from the Calgary area. Either way, he was a fan of the Calgary Flames growing up. So he's hopping right in, playing his favorite childhood team. So let's hope that doesn't come back to bite the Avalanche in the rear end one day when he has his John Tavares moment. It's also interesting to note, too, that Colorado is sacrificing a year of eligibility here because by signing him, they burn a year of his entry-level deal. So he only has 2 years left as opposed to having three. A lot of the times you can sign a player, he comes in, you got nine games, you can send him back down to junior, whatever, AHL, whatever, and you don't burn a year of the contract. But if you put him in the playoffs the way Colorado is doing, they're going to be burning a year. It's not worrisome. You still have him as an RFA. You still have control over him for a long period of time. But again, he's going to get to free agency a year sooner than a lot of players would in his similar situation. So just keep that in mind if you're an Avalanche fan and you didn't win the Hughes sweepstakes here with that Ottawa Senators deal. You know, one of your young budding stars is going to have one less year of eligibility there. So keep that in mind. The NHL draft also took place. The draft lottery took place. We didn't really talk about that much. A lot of people have been buzzing behind the draft being altered, and I'm kind of for that. I think we'll save that for another time. I think the NHL draft lottery is seriously broken. I just think that the NHL tried to make it exciting, and I think they went maybe a little bit too far. So we'll cover that in an upcoming show. Remind me to talk about that. For any of you who really, really care. I'm missing a lot of questions here. Let me see. Professor Foxtrot, Kadri should be suspended. Oh, shouldn't be suspended. There was no injury. Disagree with that. Although I will say out of the two, Kucherov was way worse. Way worse. And what did he get? I think he only got one game. I think Kucherov only got one game, which or did his... I can't even remember now if his thing came down. But that was a bad hit. That was a just really, really awful, awful hit. Yeah, Kucherov only got one game. He could have probably gotten more for that. But it may be the whole season, depending on what the Tampa Bay Lightning are able to do here. Hate Maple Leafs fanboys. They have no clue. What's funny, though, is the National Hockey League, unlike any other sports league in the world, really originates a lot of its stuff from Toronto. It really, really does. It's the mecca. Even though Montreal is super important, a lot of opinions that get filtered down to the States come and originate from Toronto. And I consume a lot of hockey coverage from the Toronto market because I like to stay informed, and we don't have a lot of that here in Long Island. In fact, that's why I started this show. But, you know, in between doing this, when I can grab an interview or something like that, a lot of it comes from the outlets north of the border, and they are such fanboys of those Toronto Maple Leafs. They literally can't see in front of them when it comes. There's no unbiased judgment when it comes to the Toronto media. We did an episode on that, by the way. You can go back and watch it, hockeytalkshow.com, or the YouTube channel or Facebook page has our past episodes. Or if you want to listen to it, you can get the podcast of the Hockey Talk Show. It is this exact show available in audio form. So if you're driving to work, driving home from work, whatever it is, you can't really watch, you're disgusted by my face, I get it, plenty of people are, you can get the audio version of the show on all the podcast networks, including iTunes, Google Podcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Spotify. We are practically everywhere. Let's see here. Lou, I'm not mad you didn't pick Vegas. You have your own Islander out in round two. This is based on paper, not desire. Completely. I tried to make my picks as fair as possible. The weird thing is, when I watch the Islanders and how they've been able to handle Pittsburgh, I am very, very tempted to say that they might be able to get past Washington. But it is really, really hard for me to make that assessment because Washington is still the defending Stanley Cup champions. They still have a world-class Stanley Cup champion goaltender. They have Ovechkin and Kuznetsov, and Oshie tends to turn it on at times. So it is so hard. Personally, I'm obviously rooting for the Islanders to go to the Stanley Cup final. And I think if Tampa gets bounced it opens up the entire rest of the East for anybody. It really opens it wide. It's wide open. But to sit here and say it's not going to be Tampa Caps or Boston Caps, I mean, that's hard for me to make that assessment. When you just look at how these teams are built, just incredibly tough. I will say this, because I know we do have a lot of Islander fans. Similarly to the way the Capitals woke up last year, the Islanders could do the same. And it's ironic that they're both going to do it with the same team, because the Caps were wandering around aimlessly like the San Jose Sharks are, right? Was it, it's another year. How are the Caps going to find a way to lose themselves now? But the Caps were able to put it together, and I still credit that Pittsburgh series. Yeah, the Columbus, yeah, everything like that. But as soon as the Caps got past Pittsburgh, there was a different look in their eye, and they became unstoppable. So much so that they wound up stopping Vegas, which seemed to be like the unstoppable force in their first year. So can that happen to the Islanders? Yes. And I said this in our playoff prediction show. These things are almost completely useless because so much changes over the course of the playoffs that, you know, you can't really take these things for real. What's going to happen in the second and third rounds, it's hard to tell because teams change. They get confidence. If the Islanders sweep Pittsburgh, watch out. If Columbus sweeps Tampa, how hard is it going to be for Toronto or Boston to put up with them? I mean, you're fighting against that momentum. You're fighting against that confidence, that belief, as Tortorella says, or that effing belief, as Tortorella says. That's hard. That's stuff you can't account for before the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So things change. Momentum changes. Things become different. The Islanders can have that. Columbus can have that. It can happen. We'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. Daniel, how about Josh Bailey? Josh Bailey has been amazing. Not only has he been good, but the response to the Josh Bailey song has been downright amazing. Watching people and little kids sing the Josh Bailey song has been quite wonderful. If you haven't seen it, I'll try and get it up for you here. It's been fun. It's been fun to watch Josh Bailey. I was always super hard on Josh Bailey because I really loved his game. You know, Josh was one of these guys where you'd watch him be absolutely brilliant one second and then be utterly useless the next. And you just always looked at that guy and was like, man, there's so much more to your game than this. So much more. What are you doing? And now he's finally starting to put it together. Not that he doesn't miss the rare opportunity, because he could have ended game two in the third instead of letting it go into overtime. But hey, he showed up. We can't complain if it wasn't timely. All right, little kids are singing the Josh Bailey song. Let's listen to this. Oh, wait, can you guys not hear that? I apologize. Hold on one second. One second. Let me bring this up. Little kid singing Josh Bailey. Completely adorable. Totes adorbs, as I like to say. All right, here's the kid. Let's see. This should work now.
No.
I'm sorry. Here we go.
Hey, Josh Bailey. I know. If you're gonna go.
Yay! Can you say
that? Is there anything more adorable than that? I mean, give me a break. Josh Bailey has been a godsend in this playoff series. He's finally stepping up, although I feel like Brock Nelson doesn't get enough credit, even though he's starting to get some credit. What, in your opinion, is the difference between Pittsburgh and the New York Islanders? Is it the same as Tampa Bay and Columbus, light speed and structure I'm trying to pinpoint? No, it's different. It's different because I feel like there's a lot more offensive threat for the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Tortorella is a lot more of a go-getter. You know, he's going to make that Newt Rockne speech and fire the troops up. Trotz, I don't think, is that guy. Trotz is a lot more, you know, quiet. He's a lot more content. Lets his assistant coaches do a lot more. Lets the players play, speak for itself. It's completely different. It's completely different. Where I think the Islanders are doing well is they're playing their game and they're not worrying too much about who's on the ice, about playing against Pittsburgh. They're worrying about doing the things that they do right. The Islanders' forecheck and play in the defensive zone is stifling. And you hear that when you watch it because the commentators pick up on it. And it's so true. Watch the time and space opponents have against the Islanders. watch how, and you saw this in the Brock Nelson goal when he scored in game three. He causes the turnover in the zone. I forget who it was, but there was an Islander player on Crosby, and it was the backup from Brock Nelson that really caused the turnover. And that's the thing. They are in their zone, playing great defense, covering for each other, smothering the opposition. We've seen the frustration from Evgeny Malkin in this series. He is totally frustrated. Crosby just looks out of it. You know, he just can't figure it out why none of his tricks are working. And he's had some pretty decent attempts, but they're stifling him. And that's causing a problem for the Pittsburgh Penguins. On top of that, they have the New York Islanders. They have subtle offensive skill. Again, it's not Tavares skill. It's not Kucherov obvious skill. But Brock Nelson, he's a 30-goal scorer. He's never really solidified it. It's not like, obviously, Brock Nelson's going to score 30 goals this year. He's not that. But he has the ability. He shoots like he's a 30-goal scorer. Again, he may not put it up. I know that it kind of doesn't make sense. But he doesn't put it up statistically every year. But he has the skills. He can do it. And he had a better year this year than he's ever had. Anders Lee is a 30-goal scorer. And Matthew Barzal is having a good rookie playoff round. Anthony Beauvillier is doing really, really well. They just really believe in each other. If you want to draw a line between the Islanders and the Columbus Blue Jackets, you can do it through belief in one another. You know, that they definitely have. But as far as styles on the ice go, it is a smidge different. Dave, Kessel, ring a bell. You know, it's amazing that they've stopped all of their offensive weapons. All of them. Kessel, Malkin, Crosby. You watch Hornquist, he's totally, you know, he's been hampered down. They play a good system. And on top of that, their goaltending is outstanding, which is why I'm sort of waning in that San Jose series, because I'm looking at Marty Jones and I'm like, I don't know if he has what it takes, especially if Stone's going to get hot for Vegas. Stastny's chipping in. That line has been really good. 67-26. They're here. They're filling it out for, Vegas. They've played a lot of hockey, that team, but they look like they're in it. You know, and that's the other thing you can say about the Pittsburgh Penguins, too. They've played a lot of hockey. Let's not forget, before the Caps won last year, the Pittsburgh Penguins won two Stanley Cup championships in a row. Okay? That's a lot of hockey. And they had a nice run last year in the playoffs, and they're back here again. This team might just be exhausted. You know, it just might be flat out exhausted. And that could be it. Same way Tampa looks like, you know, they thought it was going to be easy street, especially going up 3-0 in game one. All right, thanks for the comments. There's a lot going on YouTube. I'm out of the conversation there. I can't seem to catch up. I'll try and catch up afterwards. Eddie thinks the Isles are about to put the Penguins on the rotisserie. Let's see. Need content for the offseason, Lou. What are you? Blah, 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 blah. I missed that. I'm excited for this offseason. I think we're going to see. I think, and I've been talking about this all year, even though we haven't had many shows this year as we had last year, which, by the way, we are hoping to fix for next season. A lot more shows again. But we're going to be here with you more throughout the playoffs. Stuff has opened up at my schedule personally, so we'll be here. I'm looking forward to this offseason. I think we're going to see a lot of fireworks. I think the amount of RFAs coming out of this year, it's going to be RFA apocalypse. There are just going to be so many signings, so many deals, so many rumors, so many trades. I want to say so many offer sheets. I don't think so, but I think we'll see one or two, and I think we'll see one or two big, big-name offer sheets. When you look at the list of RFAs that are out there on teams, there is an abundance of RFAs. And I just don't know if there's enough cap space around on some of these teams to go ahead and lock all these guys down. So that's why I think you'll see some trades and things happen in the early going. All right, we'll leave it there. I think I covered as much as I could. Thank you guys so much for the comments on Facebook and YouTube. Again, make sure you're hitting the like button on YouTube. Make sure you hit those thumbs up. You got to do that. It's super important. If you don't, you're stealing from me and my family. I have children. Do you want them to go hungry? What's wrong with you? Hit the thumbs up. Also, share this on social if you can, Facebook and Twitter. We're everywhere at Hockey Talk Show. And, of course, HockeyTalkShow.com. How many games do you think Kadri will get, should get? I think he should get more than he's actually going to get. Again, I think Kucherov could have gotten two or three, and he only got one. So clearly, me and George Parros are not on the same page. Are not on the same page whatsoever. But we'll wait and see. Again, it's going to be in that 1 to 2 game range. I mean, people seem to feel like it's going to be more than one. And I think judging by the fact, I mean, you can kind of read into why we haven't found out yet, because it's 6 o'clock in the East. And if they met for, you know, if there was a discipline meeting, that probably happened already and happened a little while ago. So I don't know what's going on, but I think you can read into this that there's going to be some issues here. There's going to be some issues surrounding this one. But I think you got to throw the gauntlet down at some point. Boston and Toronto tonight, game 3, 7 o'clock. Give me the Boston Bruins game 1 at home against Toronto. They're going to show Toronto how tough this series is going to be. Give me Boston tonight. Give me Washington. They'll continue to roll, take a 3-0 lead there. Give me Nashville to break that up, taking a 2-1 lead in the series there. Calgary and Colorado tied 1 game apiece. They're in Colorado. Cale Makar will be there. People will be jumping up and down. Give me the Colorado Avalanche to take a 2-1 lead, put Calgary into a panic. I still think Calgary wins the series. Do you think the Flames will raise a regular season Western Conference championship banner? Do we need to label regular season or playoff on banner now? Thanks, Nashville. Yeah, Nashville really caused the hubbub with that whole regular season garbage. I don't know. I think this stuff is all for the fans. None of it really matters. You know, you can put banner. There's no league regulation on how many banners you can put up. Case in point, my home state here, my home county, and the New York Islanders have a banner hanging in the rafters with a bow tie on it. Now, it's not that Bill Torrey is not worthy of mention. He certainly is. But again, I'm just to paint a picture, there is a bow tie banner for Bill Torrey next to a banner for Billy Joel for sold out shows. Okay, so none of this really matters. You know what I'm saying? It's all fair game. And it's nice for the fans, and usually when there's a banner-raising ceremony, it's a sellout, and fans love it, you know. So I think if you can, you know, raise a banner and make people happy, go ahead and knock yourself out. Have they gotten ridiculous? Yeah, they've gotten a little ridiculous. Does the NHL step in at some point on them? I probably think so, but I probably think we're a good 10 years away before the NHL is like, okay, you guys have to check with us, you know. But, you know, look, if your standings and this and that and all these things, you're technically not wrong. So who knows? Who knows what will happen there? Some say Kadri will get 5 games because of previous suspensions. I think he was suspended even this season, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he? I know he was. And look, it's been tough going for Kadri. We knew he was going to fall off points-wise with Tavares joining this team. We knew he was going to play less minutes. We knew it was going to be a big adjustment for him this year. I don't know if he's taking it so well. I think he's an important part of this team. We'll see. We'll have to wait and see. Let's see. I know the conversation keeps going. I want to keep the show on, but I gotta go. So I'll leave it there. Thank you guys so much for the comments and everything. Remember to share on social. Remember to hit the thumbs up on Facebook and Twitter. And we will do another update, barring that another, you know, coaching hire happens. You know, certainly we'll be keeping our eye out on that. There shouldn't be too much news away from the playoffs. So we'll do another update, maybe tomorrow, maybe not. We'll see how the Islanders do. Like I said, game 5, I may be at that game, so we may do something special for that. Might be cool to do the show from the parking lot or something like that. We'll have to wait and see what we can do there. We'll see. But again, follow us on Twitter. Make sure you're there on Facebook. Make sure you're, you know, hitting the bell to get notifications on YouTube, on the Facebook page. Make sure you go to the Hockey Talk Show's Facebook page, hover over that follow button, and make sure you're seeing our notifications first. That is super important. Unless you click that, we'll go live on shows and Facebook won't notify you. So if you don't want to miss a second of the action or the hockey news or the hockey talk, make sure you are following on Facebook and seeing the notifications first. Should be a great night of hockey tonight, guys. Enjoy it all. It's been a great playoff series so far. And